All right, let's do it. Let's start with the quiz. And it's just our, it's a teaching tool, all right? Not a humiliation tool, okay? So, first one, gay, gace.
Earth.
Earth, mm-hmm. Yep, excellent. And that's just the nominative, genitive forms.
Yes.
What's their new
name? The earth is gay.
Hey.
And I said, well, yeah.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Yep.
They're ridiculous. They're teenagers.
Well, what can I say? It's one of those things. Whatever works, the mnemonic devices can come in really handy.
Terrible.
Yeah, right.
Whatever brings the association.
That's right. It's just a mind association thing. No big deal. All right. A kainos. Remember that one?
That.
Yeah. Do you remember that one? Well done. Okay. Which is, do you remember what kind of pronoun that is?
Far demonstrative.
Excellent. Far demonstrative. Okay. So then megas or megale, mega.
Large, great.
Good. Always think megaphone. Mm-hmm. Megaphone's Greek. Means a great noise. Pistis. You guys got that one? Faith. Yep. Good. The next one, if you got pistis, you should get pistuo. It's just the verb form. So I have faith or I believe. Yeah. No, because faithful is an adjective. That would be pistos, actually. So pistis is faith. Yeah, I should double check that. But because it's... Oh, no, I take it back. So pistis, yeah, is faith or faithfulness. And then pistos would be more the adjective form, faithful. So faithfulness, that would be more like the noun. So pistis is faith or faithfulness. Pistos would be more the adjective form. Pistuo is the verb form, I believe. Udes or uden, udemia. Good. Yep. So that's your negative. No, not one, nothing. So yeah, the ace and udemia would be personal. And then the uden is your neuter form. So that'd be like nothing, nothing. Yep. Hagias.
Holy.
That's right. Holy. Good. Or in the plural, it will sometimes be called saints. Yeah, those the holy ones or ones who are holy. But it depends on the context. Sometimes that's used to refer to angels. But so context is important there. But the word means holy. Because, you know, angelos is actually the word that is normally used for angel. That's where we get the word angel. Apokrinomai. Good. I answer. Well then, I answer. Anima. Good. Anonymous is how I used to remember that. Anonymous is no name, nameless, right? But anima, name. Gnosko.
I know. I understand.
Good. Yep. Good. I know, learn, understand, realize, something like that. Good. Gnosko. Hupa.
Which one?
Yeah, yes. Good.
Right answer.
Yes. That's a good question. Because it does, it depends, because it's one of those, what part of speech is that? Remember? Correct. Good. So it's a preposition. So it does depend on the case that it's it modifies. So with the genitive, it's by. Accusative, under. So it's more of a spatial idea with the accusative, so under. Ex erikomai. It's actually the opposite. Go out.
X.
Yep.
That's the X.
Yeah, it's X. So it's a C. So erikomai is to, would be go in or enter. Ek or ex erikomai is to
I
go out.
One of the next group is
yes.
Ice
Yeah, where's that? That's down.
It's coming.
Okay, that one's down. That's next quiz probably, or in a couple.
Next one, yeah.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Here it is, number 81, Ace Eric Amai. Okay.
This one was like last week's.
Yes, yes. So this is X Eric Amai. Go out. Aner or Andras? Good. Man. Or husband. Or husband, depends on the context. In other words, if it's like the man of a woman, then it would be typically translated husband. And then Gune is, yeah, woman or wife, exactly. So it's...
And the Goonies were boys.
Oh, yeah. So
this really messes with it, so I just think...
Oh, no.
So the Goonies are all boys.
Oh.
Yeah, but this is a woman. It's just funny.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
It's messing you up.
It is.
You all right? You'll figure it out. Yeah, well done. Te. Good. So it's an and, but it's a conjunction. So do you remember, I know this was way back, what, 3 weeks ago, whenever we covered conjunctions. So te, what's a synonym, with another word that can mean and?
Kai or day.
Good. So there's several of those. So do you remember how they're distinguished from each other? Kai, de, te. Because they technically can all be and. They're a connector. De can also be a contrast. But.
In narrative, de represents like moving on to the next thing.
Good. Yep. So it's normally used to refer to bigger discourse units. So it'll start a discourse or... And when you see it, sometimes it's used as a conclusion or normally the start of the next discourse. Yeah, so it segments larger bodies of text, like paragraphs. Kai is going to be your closer, you know, it's like your coordinating conjunction, this and that. You know, it's going to kind of put two things on, you know, an equal standing. Coordination, it's called, coordinating it. Te is like kai, but it would be a closer connection. Normally, it's a little bit closer of a connection, and then it's not always, but often used. Sometimes they'll use comparison or two in a row, like kai kai. If it says a kai, a couple extra words, and then kai again, it would be translated like both and. But you can also do te kai te te. But it's when you see them back to back, it's kind of a both and sort of idea. So. Well done. And then dunamai. Dunamai, dunamis. Good. Dunamai would be the verb. I am powerful, able, capable. Dunamis is the noun form, so that would just be power or strength. Thello.
I wish.
Yes, I will, I wish, I desire. And then huto, hutos.
Thus.
Good. Thus, so, or in this manner. Remember hutos. That's actually the beginning of John 3:16, isn't it? We translate that as hutos, thus, in this way. And then idu.
Behold.
Yes, it's actually, so it's actually... It is, yeah. So technically, it's an imperative. It's an imperative form to look or see. But it was used so frequently, it basically becomes an interjection. Because it's like a standalone form that appears so often that it kind of just becomes its own vocabulary word. But it's technically an imperative to look at something, behold something. But it kind of is one of those frozen forms that just is used so many times. But and then eudaios. Dias. Eudaios.
Jewish.
Yeah, Jew, Jewish, Judean, someone from Judea. But excellent. Okay. Any thoughts, questions, comments on the quiz? Again, the quiz is just there to be a, you know, help remind you that vocab is helpful. It's important, always, never goes away. Always important to study. But any thoughts, questions on the quiz? Not so much. Pretty straightforward. Okay, so before we jump into verbs, and we're going to try and tackle the indicative verb chart tonight. Just in general, how's it going with the old, studying Greek? You feel like you're somewhat keeping up, not at all. You're just waving from somewhere far behind.
I have preview verbs, so that's a little scary.
Okay, yeah, we'll take it chunk by chunk. But yeah, verbs can be a little intimidating. But really, the indicative chart, which is what we're going to try and jump into tonight, is the hardest one. It's kind of the master chart. But then once you get indicative down, then the others are a lot easier. Because it's really only an indicative that you have all the tenses. And so outside of the indicative, you know, your other like subjunctives and imperatives, you know, the forms are far less. They're far fewer forms. And so the indicative is kind of the big one. But like I was saying the last couple of weeks, it is possible, like I say in the slide, to just memorize hundreds of Greek forms through brute strength and just rapid, you know, memorization and just kind of beating it into your brain. I think it's easier to start just understanding how to build a verb and kind of from the root up. And then once you understand how to build a verb in the various tenses, then when you look at it, you can deconstruct the verb and kind of go in reverse. And it's not quite as hard. There's you know, it's fewer things to memorize, but then you have to take those principles and apply them in order to start doing your verb parsing. So like we talked about last time, the tenses, so remember the components, let me just back up there. Every verb consists of five parts: tense, voice, mood, person, number, and then the root. So technically six parts, but when you look at the root or a verb form, you're looking for tense, voice, mood, person, number, and then if you can identify the root. And there's sometimes that's debated, right? Like what we've been talking about, monogenes, right? Only begotten. There's a big debate on that. Like, what is actually the root word behind that? Is it ginomai or is it ginao? And if it's ginao, then it's only begotten. But if it's ginomai, then it is the one and only, or unique is how you would translate it. So sometimes that can get a little tricky to identify the root. But so with that, there are six tenses which only appear all six of them appear in the indicative mood. And so when we get to the other moods like subjunctive, optative, imperative, they don't use all the forms. And so it's like we'll talk about them when we get there. But the six tenses are really all present in the indicative. And kind of getting in, we're not going to revisit it, but like we talked about last time, there's a debate on tenses. And I was rereading the debate today. This is that Dan Wallace. I've recommended several times Greek Grammar Beyond the Basics. That's kind of a required reading for second year students. But it is like the tense, there's a debate within Greek understanding the tenses. Is it time related or do they have other functions like discourse, you know, features, things like that? And while that's a very valid debate. When you have a verb appearing in the indicative, there is a time element involved, which is why, you know, present tense is like, hey, right, you know, something happening right now. Future tense, aorist would be past tense, imperfect, perfect, and pluperfect are all different forms, right? So aorist, imperfect, perfect, and pluperfect are all different forms of past tense. But outside of the indicative mood, it really drops, the time idea drops out of the tense. And so we'll talk about that a little bit more later when we start looking at subjunctives or imperatives, but it's less of a time indicator. Tense is less of a time indicator outside of the indicative mood. And so, but tonight we're looking at indicative, and so there is a time aspect built into the verb tense. So you have six tenses: present, future, aorist, imperfect, perfect, and pluperfect, though the pluperfect is very rare. Then there's three voices: active, passive, or middle. Again, we've reviewed this last couple weeks, so should be pretty you know, just review. But then there's four moods: indicative, subjunctive, optative, imperative. And our goal tonight is to talk about indicatives. So there's also three persons: first, second, third, and then two numbers, singular or plural. So when you parse a verb, you're trying to identify those five major parts: tense, voice, mood, person, number, and then also the root. And so it's easier to study indicative verbs by learning how to build them from the root up. So with that said, let's just jump into the chart, and I'll start kind of talking you through it, and then we'll try to just practice it for a little bit and see if we can start recognizing some things. So when you study the indicative chart, you typically start with the present tense. Again, I think you all should have that master sheet that I've been given to you. I've referred to it a few different times. So I'm going to have it up here on the screen, but that master sheet is going to start, if you have that, it's going to start with, I just got to get it flipped over here, my hard copy. So after it reviews the nouns, it's going to give you the verb paradigm, you know, the verb endings, rather. We'll talk about that in just a second. And then it's going to start when it does the conjugation of luo. So it's kind of on the right-hand side of that page. It says, third box down above that. It says conjugation of luo. And so it starts with present active indicative. So typically, when you study, you know, the indicative chart, we start with present, and then we'll go to future, imperfect, perfect, imperfect, aorist, perfect, pluperfect. So we'll just kind of follow this chart. So the present tense is really your easiest tense. Notice, on the chart there, the present tense will have no prefix on the root. It's just the root. There's no special connectors in the present active, and it will use primary active endings. So on your sheet, I think I have this in another couple slides. Yeah, here we go. But your primary active endings and primary middle passive endings, that's on your, again, your master sheet, kind of bottom left-hand corner, just under the noun review program. It'll give you your endings. O, es, a, amen, ete, usi. All right, so that would be, so it's first singular, second singular, third singular, and then first, second, and third plural. That's how so I have it on the screen just to show you the person and the number. But those endings are meant to indicate person and number. So, for instance, one of the simplest verbs in the New Testament, because it has few exceptions, it just kind of follows the pattern every single time, is luo, which is why most students start by memorizing the luo conjugation. So the verb luo, it's like a lambda, upsilon, and omega, luo, means I loose or I am loosing. And so notice in the present tense, there's no prefix on it. So you think about the root, there's no prefix, there's no connector, it's just the root plus primary active endings. So luo, if you were to say it in present active indicative, then it's luo, luais, lue, luamen, lueti, ete, leusi. And that N is notice that, you see that new at the end is kind of like in parentheses. That is indicating that it is movable. Like it sometimes is there, sometimes not, depending on what the next word is, right? So if the next word starts with a vowel, then they can't have two vowels next to each other. So they'll put that in there just to distinguish it. So luo, lues, lue, luamen, laeti, luusi. So notice the root is, the two-letter root is, on your master sheet, is a lambda and an upsilon. That's your root, lu. And then your ending is your omega, that would be, so luo, that would be first singular, luais, second singular, lue, third singular, luamen, is first plural. And then lueta, luusi, is second and third plural. So do you see how that works? You just have a root, and in the primary, or in the present tense, you're simply using, so back to this part of the chart, present active indicative is your simplest form, really. It's just the root plus the primary active endings. But when you go to middle passive, okay, so present active just is the root plus the primary active endings. And so, and we'll see as we work our way through, but just notice again on your chart, here we go. So you actually have four possible sets of endings to verbs. You see that on your master sheet, bottom left-hand corner, verb review program, your verb endings, you have those four boxes. And so here's your four possible endings. Your primary active is o, es, e, amen, ete, usi. Your primary middle passive is going to be maisai, tai, mathos, that, untai. So those are your primary. Your secondary endings are the next one over. So that is a new sigma. And then there's no ending on that. So notice just a dash on the third person singular. Your secondary active endings. And then you have men, te, nu, or son. So that's your secondary active endings. Everyone got that? Because I'm kind of using the screen, but also the... Do you have your master sheet? Okay, everyone good there? And then your secondary middle passive endings are main sa ta mathos the unta. So it's, and those are things that for me, I just say them over and over and over and over and again, you know, until it just burns into your brain. So once you know your endings, your primary and secondary endings, then you also need to know what are the primary and secondary tenses. So your primary tenses are present, future, and perfect, but the perfect middle passive. Your secondary tenses are aorist, imperfect, and perfect active. All right, so this is helpful, and this is not on your master sheet. This is just what I have on the screen. If you can memorize the, you know, what verb tenses are considered primary and which one are considered secondary, then automatically you will be able to remember, you know, to know which one, which endings you have to use to form that particular tense. So for me, that's just primary tense means these are your primary, meaning your, I don't know, I just think of it as your most, your go-to tenses, right? Your most common tenses. It's going to be present, future. But then you have the perfect middle passive. And that's one of the weird things about the perfect tense is it will use, it uses primary endings in the middle passive form, but it uses secondary endings in the perfect active form. And, you know, you'll figure that out as we go. But the, and then your secondary tenses would be aorist, imperfect, and again, your perfect active. So the aorist, imperfect, and perfect active are going to be what uses the secondary endings.
Okay. Will you repeat that? How you tell the difference between the primary and the secondary? Which tense?
So the way I just think about it is, you know, primary would be kind of your go-to tense, present, but then past would be, you know, future. So that's like the secondary. It's kind of like, you know, it's not your primary, it's your secondary tense. So, but present and aorist, present, primary, aorist is a secondary. Future tense is primary. Imperfect tense is a secondary tense. And then your perfect is split, right? So your perfect active is actually it will use secondary endings. But your perfect middle passive will have a primary ending on it. It's just one of the funky things about the perfect tense is it kind of splits between the voice. Perfect active will use secondary endings. Perfect middle passive will use primary endings. So then the only other tidbit, and we'll practice this as we work our way through, is on the chart that I'm walking you through, it'll sometimes say you have to use connector vowels. When you use connector vowels, it always follows the same pattern. It'll be omicron, epsilon, epsilon, omicron, epsilon, omicron. So in other words, when you have to connect the ending to the root, there are certain times you have to provide a vowel to make it fit, to kind of as like glue that holds the ending, the suffix, to the root. But they always follow the same pattern. Your first person singular is going to be omicron, or sometimes it will, when connecting with certain endings, it'll lengthen to like omega, but it's going to be an O class vowel. And then you're going to have epsilon for both your second singular and third singular. But then in the plural, it goes omicron, epsilon, omicron. So notice how you'll see this as we work our way through the chart, but you can kind of see it already in the very first one that we're looking at, the present active indicative of luo. Is luo, luis, lue, luamen, laete, luusi. So notice you have your O class, first person singular, omicron, in this case it's lengthened to omega. But then you have two epsilons, second and third singular. And then in your plural, you have omicron, epsilon, omicron. Do you see that? That's going to be a consistent pattern all the way through, which is going to really help you recognize other forms. Is if you can remember just that sequence, omicron, epsilon, epsilon, omicron, epsilon, omicron. And so like that, for me, that was really helpful. It's just like that chart right there, just trying to burn it into your brain, is your verb tenses, your primary tenses, present, future, and then the perfect middle passive. And then your secondary tenses, aorist, imperfect, and perfect active. And then your connector vowels will always follow that same pattern, omicron, epsilon, epsilon, omicron, epsilon, omicron. So if you can memorize that, plus your endings, oase, a, amen, eti, usi, that's your primary active, primary middle passive, my sai tai, mathos, the untai, and then your secondary would be, and secondary active endings, we'll work our way through. They're going to show up a little less frequently. And then, but it's that new sigma nothing for the third person singular, and then men te son for your plurals in your secondary active endings, and your secondary middle passive endings is main sa ta mythos the unta. So these are the things that are kind of your building blocks that you do need to just memorize. But the patterns are going to be so frequent that you'll start picking up on it. So these are, again, that it's on your master list, or the kind of that master sheet that I'm, as I refer to it, is it gives you your primary active and middle passive and your secondary active and middle passive endings in that bottom left-hand corner. So those are things to just constantly review and try and learn. So if we go, don't let me move on too quickly. Are you still taking notes there? So if we work, dude, you do your thing, man. Take your time. But as we study the present tense, present indicative, then your present active form is going to be, your simplest form. It has no real, it has no prefix, no root, no connector. It just uses primary active endings. So, don't move. I won't move on too fast there. Let you finish putting that down. Okay. So So present active, again, notice that when you look at a verb, you're really looking for four, you know, things that you're identifying. What's the root? Does it have a prefix? Does it have a connector? And what's the suffix? Because it'll always have a suffix. It'll always have an ending. Because the ending is how it'll tell you, right, if it's active, you know, it's voice, person, and number. You're going to identify three things just from the suffix, right? But then, so present active, real simple. No prefix. The root just is whatever the root is. No connector, and it just has primary active endings. When you move to your present middle passive form, then it's going to use middle passive endings. But it also will have a connector. So no prefix. And then connected to the root is going to be a connector vowel. So it'll have an omicron or an epsilon that follows that pattern that I showed you earlier. Omicron, epsilon, epsilon. Omicron, epsilon, omicron. And then it'll just use primary middle passive endings. So back to your master sheet. Notice we just did present active indicative is luo, luace, lue, luamen, luete, luusi. But down the very next box below it is present middle passive. So that's going to be luomai. And then notice lue. Now, what happened there? Right? So this is where we're going to start talking amalgamation. When you start jamming vowels together, sometimes they morph. So think through that real quick. So it's present tense, but it's using middle passive endings. So look down at your middle passive endings. You have my, psi, tai, bathos, that, untai. So what happens is you have a luo, but it's kind of funky what happens. That psi ending doesn't fit well. And so the epsilon, the sigma drops out. The epsilon amalgamates with the I, and it turns into A, an eta with an iota subscript. Now, these are things you're going to learn as you work your way through. You're just going to start recognizing it. But, wrong one. Well, no, actually, that is kind of what I'm after. So what happens is when certain vowels combine, they will often morph into another vowel. And you're going to see this several different times in different settings. And you'll start recognizing it, again, the more familiar with it you become. But these are just kind of, this is a general chart that will help you just start visualizing what happens when you have certain vowel combinations that jam together. Is it, you know, it basically morphs into another vowel for pronunciation purposes. Because remember, all these languages were spoken before they were written. And so pronunciation will sometimes shift. And so just recognize the psi, it just, that doesn't fit well. So when you look at the middle passive, present middle passive indicative, it's luamai, lue, luetai, luamitha, lueste, and luantai. So notice how it uses middle passive endings, because it's a middle passive. It'll use your primary middle passive endings. Primary, because it's present tense, right? So, and present is one of your primary tenses. So it'll use your primary middle passive endings, but it'll also have a connector vowel. So that's where you have to, and just remember the pattern of the connector vowel, is that's where it'll sometimes, occasionally, and it's that second person singular that in the present middle passive is the funky form. It doesn't seem to fit the pattern, but it's because of that sigmas do weird things. Like they don't, you know, sometimes it didn't like the sigma. So it'll drop that, but then it will amalgamate. The epsilon with the alpha iota amalgamate into the eta with the iota subscript. So that's the weird form in the present middle passive.
And the epsilon is from the connector? That's where you're picking up the epsilon?
Yes, the connector vowel.
Because it goes from, say, the sigma alpha iota.
Correct.
But what's automating is actually the epsilon and the iota. So it's dropping the sigma and the alpha?
Yeah, well, technically it's dropping the sigma, but then when you put epsilon, alpha, iota all together,
they go together.
Yeah, then it turns into the eta with an iota subscript. So it still is retaining the I, right? It's showing you that there was an iota there,
right,
but it put it in a subscript. So it's funky.
Okay.
Does that make sense? So really don't spend a lot of time memorizing the amalgamation chart. I just that used to frustrate me to no end. But rather just learn your basic forms, and then when you don't recognize it, then recognize, okay, amalgamation happened. Like, there's letters that mixed together and transformed into a new letter, which will happen, you know, somewhat frequently. So you try to memorize your base forms of what you should be able to predict will be there, but then sometimes you'll have to say, oh, and just recognize amalgamation happened. But sometimes, you know, and context will help you determine that, like the person number, et cetera. But sometimes people just waste a lot of mental energy trying to memorize every possible amalgamation combination. And it is like exhausting and super confusing. Yeah. It's like, oh my goodness. So just, yeah, try not to become too discouraged there and spend too much time distracted by that. But that's your present tense, right? So you really only have two major, you know, because your present active and your present middle passive. Middle passive is the same form. So you have present active and present middle passive, and we're done with the present tense in the indicative. So then we move to the future tense, and notice in the future, there are three different forms, because active, middle, and passive are all different forms in the future tense. Make sure that chart's still up there. So again, in the future tense, indicative chart, there's no prefix. So there's no prefix. The root is going to be what the root is. And notice it's going to use primary endings, right? Because remember, trying to remember your primary tenses are present, future, and perfect middle passive. So it's going to use your primary endings. So future active is going to use a sigma as it's called the connector, or some will call it the tense formant, but I just say connector. So future active is going to use a sigma after the root, and then it's just going to attach it to the sigma is what's going to attach the root to the primary active endings. So back to your master sheet. Notice your future active indicative is luso, luces, luce, lusamen, luceta, lususi. So notice it's still using your primary active endings. It just attaches a sigma before the ending. Are you seeing that? Notice how, however, that's different when you go to the middle, future middle. It's going to use middle passive endings, but it's going to have a sigma plus a connector vowel. So notice your future active is luso, luces, luce, but your future middle is lusamai, luce. There's that amalgamation thing again, because the psi dropped out, right? The sigma dropped out, because now you got too many sigmas there. Does that make sense? And so it takes are you tracking with me there? The future middle tense, future middle indicative, second person singular is luce. Can everyone find that on their chart? Notice the ending should be psi, but two sigmas next to each other, they don't like that. So one of the sigmas drops, and what happens? Well, you got your connector vowel, an epsilon, and your epsilon, alpha, and a iota amalgamate again. Does that make sense? And it goes to eta with that iota subscript again. So it happens again in the future middle, just like it did up in the present middle passive. Same thing happens. But notice, how do you distinguish a future middle from a present middle? You got, because the present retains the sigma. Do you see that? The future retains the sigma. The present tense drops the sigma. So it's lue in the present. That would be your present middle passive. Your future middle future middle is luce. So it has that sigma in there. So then you're continuing down the future middle indicative. So you have luce amai, luce, lucetai. So notice lucetai. So your root would be just the lu, right? Lambda, upsilon. Your connector would be the sigma plus your connecting vowel, the se. And then you would just put the ending on it, tai. Does that make sense? So lucetai. You have the root, the sigma, plus a connector vowel, and then your ending, tai. The pattern continues. It just repeats with the next. So this would be first person plural. Lusamatha. So your root is lu. Then you have a sigma plus connector vowel, sa, sigma, omicron. And then your middle passive ending, mitha. So lusamitha would be your future middle indicative. Same thing, lusestha and lusantai. Notice the pattern just stays true, right? Just continues to repeat. Is it the sigma is a connector plus the omicron epsilon vowel connector pattern. And then your middle passive endings. Okay. So now this is where, and this is actually helpful to me. I never forget future passives. Because the next form, future passive, has a very obvious connector. It is going to use a three-letter connector plus a connector vowel. So your future passive, when you see a theta, eta, sigma all next to each other, it's like a, you know, that's a dead giveaway. Oh, it's a future passive. So in the future passive form, the connector is going to be a theta, eta, sigma plus your connector vowel, omicron, epsilon, depending on, you know, remember, just follow the pattern, omicron, epsilon, epsilon, omicron, epsilon, omicron. And then it's going to use primary middle passive endings. So if we were to work through it on the chart, it's lu thesamai is your first person singular, lu thesamai. And then the psi, again, same thing happens, but it's lu thesae. So that same amalgamation happens in the second singular. So that's now becoming a pattern, right? We're seeing it. So technically that ending is my psi tai, mythos thai untai. But that psi doesn't often appear. Because, you know, we've seen it amalgamate now in present and in future tense. So again, just working our way through the future passive is luthesamai, luthese, luthesetai. Notice again, theta, eta, sigma, plus your connector vowel, plus your middle passive, primary middle passive ending. Luthesetai. And then luthe samatha, that's a mouthful, isn't it? Luthe samatha, luthe sestha, and luthe santai. Now, this is going to repeat later, but I'll just throw it in here now. When you see a theta as part of a connector, it's going to be passive. In fact, a lot of guys, you know, prof, the way he puts it, is when you see that big theta And you're with me on this?
Would you repeat that? When you see a theta,
it's going to be a passive.
It's a passive.
Yep. Now, you have to be careful, because if it's part of the root, sometimes that throws people off, right? Because thetas can be part of the root. But when you see a theta, so right here I'm circling it. Whoops, except I was meaning to go red. But anyways. So your theta, when you have a theta, and you're going to see it as a, in a future passive, and then when we get to aorist passive, you're going to see the same thing, is a theta is, if it's part of the connector, is an indicator of passive. And so...
Not the root, though.
Correct. So sometimes you will have a theta within a root.
Yeah.
And so that's why vocab is so important. You got to just memorize the vocab form, because if the theta is part of the root... Well, then it does. It's not a connector, and so you know it doesn't have anything to do with passive. Correct, but if it's part of the connector on the end, or in the middle, right before the ending, but it's the connector before the suffix, then it's an indicator of passive. And the guy, one prof, he always says, whenever you see a theta, think big easy chair, right? It's like, have you heard that before? It's like a big, you know, looks like an easy chair. The theta, just the letter, looks like a beanbag. At least that's the way he puts it. You know, think of like this big beanbag easy chair that you're just resting down in that. It's, you're passive. Right? That's the idea, is you're passive. But the theta is going to help you recognize passive forms. So the future passive is a theta eta sigma plus the connector vowel, omicron or epsilon, with primary middle passive endings. And so it's, once you know that, then when you see it, it's like, okay, yeah, that's pretty easily recognizable. Once you can just remember that theta, eta, sigma, plus connector vowel, and the suffix is your primary middle passive endings, then the future passive is one of the easiest forms to recognize. It's really kind of hard to miss because it's such a long connector, right? I mean, it's like, it's actually kind of helpful. Okay, so questions on that? Before we move on to imperfect tense, is this kind of making sense? How you build a present or a future tense in the indicative? Okay, so now let's go to imperfect. So now the imperfect and the aorist all share something in common. All of them will have a prefix to them. So your imperfect active, imperfect middle passive, aorist active, aorist middle, or aorist passive are all going to begin with a prefix. So the prefix is your dead giveaway. And it's typically just an epsilon. There can be some augmenting that goes on. So I'll illustrate that in just a second. But let's just start with the imperfect active. So when you're studying imperfect active, it has a prefix, an epsilon prefix to the root. It has the connector vowels of omicron or epsilon. So just follow that pattern, omicron, epsilon, epsilon, omicron, epsilon, omicron. And then it'll have the suffix. But don't forget, imperfect tense is a secondary tense. So it's not going to use primary endings. It's going to use secondary endings. So if it's imperfect active, then it's going to use secondary active endings. So that's the new sigma blank, men, te, nu, or son. So go back over to your chart, just on the kind of the right-hand side, kind of bottom of the your master chart. Notice imperfect active indicative. It's eluon. L-U-S, L-U-N, and notice the new there is movable. Because in the parentheses there, it means it's a movable new. It might be there, might not be there. It depends on the next word. L-U-Amen, L-U-Eta, L-U-An. All right, so again, that's just context, but notice L-U-An, that form, L-U-An, can be a first-person singular or a third-person plural. Do you see that? It's actually the same form. And so it's context. And when you see it in a sentence, you can normally figure out if it's singular or plural because the subject will be attached to it. But not always. But context is pretty helpful to make sure, you know, you can figure out the which one it is, first singular or third plural. But your imperfect active, indicative, eluan, elues, eluen, eluamen, elaete, eluan. But imperfect middle passive, notice again, in the imperfect, the middle passive is the same form. They're going to use, it's either middle or passive. Again, context will determine. So it's going to use a prefix, the epsilon prefix to the root. It's going to have the connector vowel, omicron or epsilon. And then it's going to use secondary middle passive endings. So it's eluamein, elu'u, eluata, eluamatha, eluestha, eluanta. See how that's making, is that making sense? See how that's working? So your perfect, or your imperfect, rather, sorry, your imperfect active, imperfect middle passive, it's pretty simple rules. You see a prefix, then, and you're going to see the connector is just a omicron or epsilon with its endings. But because it's a secondary tense, it's going to use secondary endings. Active in the active voice, middle passive in the middle passive form. However, now we have to talk aorist. So aorist, yes, okay. So people often struggle with this, but it's really not that hard if you remember the sigma part, is in the aorist form, it's going to have the same prefix that an imperfect form would have. So when you see an aorist, it's going to have an epsilon prefixed to the front, unless it's second aorist. We'll talk about that in a second. But then its connector is going to be a sigma alpha. A sigma alpha. So again, don't let that throw you, because some people are like, wait a minute, I thought the sigma was an indicator of the future tense. Well, it is. But a sigma alpha plus a prefix is the indicator of the aorist tense. And notice in the aorist tense, you have three different forms. The active, middle, and passive will be three different forms. So your active is going to have the prefix, epsilon. Connector is a sigma alpha. And then it's going to use, because remember, aorist is a secondary tense. So try and remember your, you know, primary versus secondary tenses. But because it's a secondary tense, it's going to use secondary active endings. So back to your master chart. Aorist active indicative is going to be elusa, elusas, elusen, elusamen, elusate, elusan. So notice the sigma alpha, the prefixed epsilon. Then you have your root, lu, and then your sigma alpha. But it's going to use the secondary endings. All right. Kind of tracking with me there? Okay, so then your aorist middle is going to use the same connector, sigma alpha, is still your indicator, but it's going to use secondary middle passive endings. So your aorist middle indicative is going to be elusamein, eluso, elusata, and notice the eluso. So let's pause there, because that notice that's happening a lot in that second person singular, is we have an amalgamation taking place again. So it should be, if you look at your endings, it should be saw. Right? But it doesn't like the saw. It would be elusasa. Okay, it doesn't like that. So what happens? Well, one of the sigmas drops out, and then your alpha and omicron just lengthen to an omega.
That's a weird addition.
It's weird. It is weird. Yep. So the eluso is kind of a weird, you're like, oh man, that's, yeah, that's odd. But it's, again, that's, and that's often happening in that second person singular, because notice it's those sigmas. There, you know, the sigmas is a weird, when it comes to pronunciation, sometimes those sigmas just, they drop out a lot. Like in the psi and the saw endings, in your middle passive endings, your primary middle passive and your secondary middle passive. So you, again, you're seeing it a lot, so it, you'll start to get used to it, because that second person singular is a weird form. It's the one that is, so if you're studying a form and you're like, I don't recognize that, I'm running through my endings and I do not recognize that, chances are it's a second person singular. Does that make sense? Because that's where most of the weird amalgamation is taking place on the chart. But then here's our aorist passive. So in aorist passive, you have a prefix, epsilon, and then your connector is a theta eta. So notice again, theta as a connector is going to indicate passive. So your aorist passive, prefixed epsilon, you know, prefix to the root, theta eta is your connector, and then it's going to use secondary active endings. So notice that's one of the weird things about an aorist is it's a passive, but it's going to use active endings. It's just one of the weird things about an aorist passive is it actually takes active endings. But you know it's passive because of the theta eta. All right, so that's one of the weird things. So just, you know, a lot of folks stumble over that because it's like, wait a minute, what's going on? Because these are actually active endings. It's using your secondary active endings. So it's, so if you were to read on your master chart, aorist passive indicative is eleuthane, eleuthase, eleuthae, eleuthamen, eleutheta, eleuthason. All right. Now, sometimes, so like eleuthason in particular, let's just talk about that one for just a second. It's the third person plural form, aorist passive indicative. It's eleuthason. That one can be confusing because what do you see there? It's a theta, eta, sigma, right? And you're like, oh, that's future. That's a future passive. No, because it has a prefix. The prefix is the indicator that it's aorist. Does that make sense? A future tense will not have a prefix. It's just the root. There's nothing in, on the front of the root. So that's where, when you start parsing, one of the very first things you do is you're trying to identify the root, but you're looking to see, okay, is there a prefix? If there's a prefix, automatically it's either an imperfect or an aorist. And you're thinking, oh, it's one of those. It's got to be one of those. And we'll talk about the perfect here in just a second, because it's going to have a reduplication, it's called. So it technically has a prefix, but it's, but the just the epsilon prefix, if you see just the epsilon prefixed, then it's an imperfect or an aorist form. And then you're just trying to figure out, okay, if it has a sigma in there, it's going to be aorist. If it doesn't have a sigma, if it just has a connector vowel and an ending, well, that's imperfect. But if it has a theta eta in there, oh, that's aorist passive. All right, so I'm just teaching you the rules, but we're going to go practice it here in a few minutes and start drilling it, and it'll help. But one more thought on, or one more little tidbit before we move to...
Guaranteed.
Oh yeah, guaranteed. You're going to leave here masters of the indicative chart, no problem. You're going to be like, give us something harder next time, no big deal. Okay, but let me see here. I was going to show you... So let's talk about prefixes real quick. Just, I'm going to, before we jump to aorist, or I'm sorry, second aorist, perfect and pluperfect forms. Let's talk about that prefix for just a second. So for verbs whose root begins with a consonant, the imperfect tense is normally formed by prefixing the epsilon to the present stem and adding the endings of the proper voice, either active or middle passive endings. And this prefixed epsilon is called an augment. So I call prefix, sometimes you'll see it as augment. It's the same thing. It's just, they're synonyms. So the prefix epsilon is also known as an augment, and it indicates that the action in question is in past time. It's found only in the indicative mood. The augment in epsilon always has the smooth breathing mark. So the prefix, if you see a prefix on it, you're already thinking, okay, it's indicative. It's either imperfect or aorist, but it's indicative. Because outside of the indicative mood, there are no prefixes. Nuance that as we go. But when you see that prefixed epsilon, you're like, okay, it's clearly going to be imperfect or aorist. However, it's easy to spot if the root begins with a consonant. It's a little more confusing if the root begins with a vowel. So here, for instance, when the present stem of the verb begins with a vowel or a diphthong, which is a combination of a couple vowels, then the augment is formed not by prefixing the letter epsilon, but by lengthening the vowel or diphthong according to the following rules. So here is an alpha becomes an eta. So like akuo, for instance, is the word, you remember your vocab? Akuo means I hear. Yep, verb form, I hear. But when you put an epsilon at the beginning of a kuo, epsilon and alpha amalgamate to an eta. So it's a kuon. That would be, do you see how that works? A kuo with the prefix, with that prefixed epsilon, an epsilon and a alpha, that's not a thing, right? That's not a diphthong. It's just, it now amalgamates into an eta. But if you can recognize a kuon is a kuo with an augment on the front, now you're like, oh, that's going to be, you know, aorist or imperfect. Estheo is another verb that they show. Estheo, again, when you put the epsilon in the front, when you have two, and it's not going to have two epsilons right next to each other. So it's going to amalgamate to an eta again. So estheo becomes aestheon. Onomazo, when you put an augment on the front, that epsilon in the front, it's going to amalgamate into an omega. So it's onomazo or onomazon. Whew, that was hard. Then oxano is going to be, again, you put that epsilon in the front and it's going to morph that alpha into an eta. So this is why memorizing vocab is really important, is because if you don't have the vocab form memorized, you won't necessarily recognize if there's an augment on the front. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I'm starting to actually see that when I read through John and stuff. I can start to see an actual piece of the word.
Mm-hmm.
EMI or some of these, you can actually see it.
In yep, the root.
Of it. Yeah.
Yep.
But and you've got these other weird things on the outside, which I can see.
Exactly. Yep. No, and that's why memorizing the vocab form is really helpful, is because it'll, and we'll work our way through when we talk about other weird things that verbs do, is sometimes even there's root spelling changes that take place. Most of the time that leaves the root alone, but not always. It will change the root a little bit, but there's still going to be your key consonants are still going to be in there.
Say there's like key weird blends that will always be there, like
right.
The gamma nu.
Yes, gamma nu's.
It'll just be in there.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. And again, once as you're just reading the New Testament, context is helpful. Then you can normally just take a good guess at what the root is. If you're totally not sure, just look it up in the lexicon or, you know, one of those handy dandy booklets that you have with you. You know, that kind of gives you, parses, you know, your tough forms, your forms that are a little more rare or difficult to recognize. But let's see, I give several more examples here, but let me skip to the compound words real quick. In Greek, many verbs are called compound verbs because they're compounded with a prefix, usually a preposition, and a simple verb. Thus, the verb apaluo means I release. But you see, apaluo is actually the word luo with the preposition apa attached to it. So apaluo means really loose from, or I release. It's composed of the prefix apa and the simple verb luo. In such verbs, the augment, this is, again, just a weird thing that you got to be used to, but the augment is normally placed immediately before the simple verb or the root. Thus, apaluon is the form of the first person singular or the third person plural, and that would be imperfect. The final vowel of the apa drops before the augment, and apaluon becomes apaluon. Do you see how that works? So the augment, and this is where you just kind of got to understand this is what Greek does with compounds, is you would expect the epsilon, if it's going to put an augment on the front, it's going to be attached to that alpha, but not when it's a compound verb. Notice it's going to let that apa, it's going to leave that alpha alone, and it's the omicron epsilon that amalgamate. And so it's going to turn from apa with an omicron to ape luon right here, ape luon. And that epsilon right there is an augment. So that's just a weird thing that compounds do when it's a compound verb. And that's where you're like, sometimes those augments hide inside of, you know, in between the prefixed preposition of a compound verb and then the simple form of the verb. So that's, you know, so just be aware of that. But that's where, again, memorizing vocab is apaluo is the vocab form. But then it's when it's ap-e luon, you're like, wait a minute, something happened there because there's an augment hidden in there. All right, so again, and that's just kind of unique to compound verbs. But there's a lot of compound verbs in the New Testament. So, you know, so it's a good thing to be aware of. Okay, so we've done present tense, future tense, imperfect tense, and aorist tense. Let's talk this final part of the chart, and then we're just going to go to practicing. We're just going to start trying it out. So there's this thing called second aorist. And what in the world does that mean? Well, second aorists are ridiculously frustrating, but basically it's an aorist without a prefix. And you're like, wait a minute, I thought that's how I figured out what an aorist was with the prefix. Yeah, exactly. You're like, that is frustrating. But the thing that gives away a second aorist is a root spelling change. If the root changes spelling, then it's a dead giveaway. It's an aorist. They just call it a second aorist because it doesn't carry the augment. Some people just call it, you know, just it's just an aorist. But it's the second way an aorist can be formed, is the point. Is now we do the same thing in English. Now, it's not as common, but I go, present tense, I went, past tense. Wait a minute. What happened there? Go and went are two totally different words. No, they're the same word, but it's in present or past tense. See, we do the same thing in English. Well, that's what they do in Greek. An aorist tense is just, they'll sometimes change the spelling of the root to indicate that it's an aorist. So when that happens, so notice back to our master chart here, they're going to show you the second aorist, not with luo, but with lipo, because it doesn't work with luo. Or grapho. Yeah, so like their second aorist passive, egraphein, that's grapho. But there's actually a spelling change. So that's actually lapo. There's actually supposed to be in the lexical form of that, there's supposed to be another epsilon. You know, it's the root is actually, if I remember the spelling right, it's lambda, either iota epsilon or epsilon iota, and then a pi. That's your root. But when one of those drops out and there's a spelling change in the root, it's an indication of an aorist. So they just call it second aorist, meaning it's the second way an aorist can be formed. All right, so that is just, just be aware of that. When you see major spelling change, especially to the root, that means it's an aorist. And so that's just the second way an aorist can be formed. So be aware of that, because that happens. I don't remember the percentage, first aorist or second aorist. Second aorists are, I don't know. I got to look. It's not half and half. I think second aorists are less frequent, but they still occur quite a bit. But when there's a root spelling change, it's an aorist, just known as second aorist, or it's the second way an aorist can be formed. Okay. Now let's talk about perfects. So the perfect tense has two primary things that are going to give it away. So notice, sorry, you got a thought back there?
You said there was no prefix on the second
terrace? Oh, no, you're right. So there can be. I should have, but it doesn't have to be.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, there can be an epsilon or a prefix on it, but not, there doesn't have to be. So it can just be a root spelling change. So I should actually fix my chart. You're right. Good catch. It can have an epsilon on the front, but it doesn't always have an augment. Yeah. So thank you for checking that, double checking on that. So the second aorist.
I know I messed my notes too.
Yeah, that's okay. It's okay. It's okay. Good catch. Yes, good catch there. Yes, it can, but doesn't always have a prefix.
I love those fluid rules.
Oh, I hate that. I know. I know.
A-E-I-O-U. Except sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah. You're like, stop. Stop with the exceptions. I know. It's painful. It's painful. Okay, so thank you for clarifying that. So perfect tense. You have two major giveaways of the perfect tense. Well, the major giveaway is what is called reduplication. So it is a prefix, but what it does is it reduplicates the first letter of the root plus the augment epsilon. So when it comes to luo, for instance, then it would be, so you have to flip it over. There we go. Perfect active is on the back side of your master sheet. It would be leluca. So in the perfect active, you're going to have reduplication on the front. So it's going to reduplicate the first letter of the root plus the epsilon. And then the perfect active form is going to have a kappa alpha as the connector. And then it's going to use your secondary active endings.
So it wouldn't be a lambda on everything?
No. So this is just based off of the Luo chart.
So it would just replicate the first letter of the root word?
Correct.
Plus the epsilon?
Correct. Okay. Yep. And then it'll have a kappa alpha as the connector. Only in the active form, all right? But so your perfect active, if you look at your master chart, your perfect active is going to be leluca, lelucas, leluken, lelucamen, lelucate, lelucan. So notice the luo, okay, or again, the lu is the root. Le is the reduplication. So it's lelu. And then the kappa is your indicator of present active. And then it's just going to use your secondary active endings. So it's leluka, lelukas, leluken, lelukamen, lelukate, lelukan. But then, notice, this is one of the rare times it actually happens. In the perfect middle passive, it's going to have the reduplication, but not the kappa. The kappa alpha connector is only in the active voice. So in the perfect middle passive, you're going to have a reduplication, and then you're just going to have your primary, your primary middle passive endings. Because remember that your primary versus active, or primary versus secondary tenses is your Perfect middle passive will take primary endings. And so that's your mai sai tai mythos that untai endings. And look, there's sai right there. Lelu sai. It's like the only time sai seems to actually stick and not amalgamate with something else is in the perfect middle passive. So lelu mai, lelu sai, lelu tai, lelu matha, lelu lelusta, leluntai. Hey, dude.
Hey.
Welcome.
Thanks.
So that's your perfect. And then I'm just going to show you the pluperfect, though, like I said, it's very rare. Yeah.
That was the first primary giveaway is reduplication. What's the second?
The kappa alpha.
The kappa alpha.
Yeah, but that's only in the active. In the middle passive, it's just the reduplication in the front, and then it's going to have your primary endings.
Now I'm
so, yes, yeah, I know. So, when and we'll
before, now
you are? Okay, yeah. I wanted to make sure you left here confused. No, that was my big goal today.
You're back to 100 for good.
Good, good. I'm well on my way. Okay. I like it. So, but that's a fair question. So the reduplication is the giveaway that it is a perfect tense. But you have to figure out if it's active or passive. Now, most of the time, the vast majority, I forget the numbers, I don't have them off the top of my head, but it's mostly going to be active. And you're going to see that with the kappa. The kappa is going to be in there. The kappa alpha as the connecting, the connector. That's in the active. But then the way that you know it's middle passive, right, is you're not going to have the kappa. You will have the reduplication. You will not have the kappa, but you will have primary middle passive endings. So it'll be your mai sai tai mythos that untai endings. And so if you can remember, again, that's where the building blocks you just have to brute memorize, right? Your endings, you just have to memorize those. But if you have your mai sai tai mythos that untai endings in your head, then when you see that, you should be thinking, oh, it's middle passive, right? Because those are middle passive endings. That those endings indicate that it's either middle or passive.
Why? Why does it use to go all the way back to the primary endings?
It's like...
It's weird.
Yeah, well, it's like aorist passives and perfect passives. Perfect middle passive. Because middle and passive is the same form in mm-hmm. the perfect tense. They do that. So aorist and perfect tense are going to do that. It's a passive, but it will... And it's a secondary, you know, tense, but it's going to use primary endings. And but in back here, if you remember, the aorist is going to use secondary endings, but they're active endings in the passive voice. And you're like, what is happening, right? It's yeah, but the aorist passive aren't that hard to recognize because of the theta eta, right? That you're like, oh, that's theta eta. You know, that's going to be an aorist. So. We'll drill this in just a few minutes, and you'll start hopefully applying these rules. Okay, so the pluperfect is odd, but it's rare. Okay, so I got to go back and look. The pluperfect only shows up, I want to say there's like 68 of them in the entire New Testament. There's only, I think, if I remember Wallace correctly. So the pluperfect is not that common, but you do come across it every once in a while. And the giveaway of the pluperfect is its prefix. It's going to have reduplication like the perfect tense does, but there's going to be an epsilon on the front of that. So it's really funky. I don't really think we even have the pluperfect on our... Do we have the pluperfect on our master sheet? Okay, yeah. Because it does not appear that often. So it's not even on our master sheet. But it would be, it's going to use your primary active endings in the active voice, but secondary middle passive endings in the middle passive voice. And so it's kind of a funky form, but when you basically, if you can master the other forms, when you see one you don't recognize, it's like, okay, it's the pluperfect. But it's going to have that extra augment plus reduplication, but no connector. There's no, you know, kappa alpha connector like there is in the perfect tense. It's just the pluperfect just has that extra augment plus reduplication.
Okay.
All right. Okay, so questions on that before we start practicing and seeing if we can actually recognize some of these forms.
So with the primary endings, you said it was the aorist middle and the perfect middle. Go back to the primary endings.
Correct. Yep. So your aorist, to correct that, your perfect middle passive will use primary middle passive endings. Mm-hmm. Your aorist passive is not going to, it's still going to use secondary endings, but it uses the active endings in the passive voice. That's what's unique about that. Yeah. Is it's a weird thing that it's like the ending is it actually an active ending, but the form is passive because it's the aorist passive. So that's just a weird thing the aorist passive does, is it uses active endings, but the theta eta is the signal, the, you know, giveaway.
Mm-hmm. And you can remember that the aorist passive is passive because the theta is like a lazy boy. It's an armchair.
That's right.
You just kick back on it.
That's right.
Passive with the theta.
We were talking about that earlier. That's that, and then same thing, remember, with the future passive. Mm-hmm. The future passive is going to have the theta eta sigma connector, but that theta is an indicator of passive voice for both the future and the aorist tense. So when you see a theta in the connector, it's going to be passive, either aorist or future, but the aorist is going to also have an augment on the front. So that's where you can make sure you can distinguish between the aorist and the future. Okay, so are we ready to do some practice? So, let me grab a cup of coffee if you need. I was going to actually use this, parse. Okay, so there's a couple different ways we can do this. Let's actually go to learn first. We'll start a little easier. Okay, so we'll start a little easier, and then we'll work on our start review. Okay, so this is, so Luo, can you see that? Okay, yeah, okay. So Luo is, so try and parse it. What would you say, how do you parse Luo? Good, present. Active indicative.
That's it.
Well done. Well done. But that, well done. See, you're a master of this already.
So I get.
So, well done. So then, but tell me what you see. So you see a root. The root is lu. There's no augment. And then it's just using primary active endings. So it's a present active indicative. First person singular, luo. All right, and that's just when you hit it, yeah, tells us right here. First or present active indicative, first singular. Boom, we got it. Okay, luace.
So the same.
Good, so you see the root, lu, no augment, present active endings. But that's your second singular. So it's luace. Would be your present active indicative second singular. Good. Yeah, these ones are really being super easy on you. That's right. Lue. Yep, so that's your third singular. Right? Yeah, you're like, oh, I'm feeling so good right now. Well done. So present active indicative, third person singular. So then what's, if you were to predict what would come next? Oh, except, no, that they did mess up the order on us.
Went to third person plural.
Yeah, that's the third plural, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Yep, so present active indicative, third plural, luusi, with the movable nu on the end. It could have a nu on the end depending on what the next word is in the sentence. Luusi. Good. And then Lu Amen.
That's
Good. That's the plural form. First person plural. Isn't it? When you parse, it's like, oh my word. You have to, it's, there's so many parts to verbs, it's ridiculous. Okay? Yeah, it does though. It makes you sound like a brainiac.
You're speaking a different language.
Well done. Well done. Good. And then you have luete is just, again, present active indicative, but which one's the ete? Do you remember?
Second plural.
Good. There's your second plural. Okay. And then voila. So now we can be done with this one. That was your present tense. So let's go back to, verbs. And these are, again, these are just taken one at a time. But then we'll go to a larger body of text here in a little bit and, you know, make it a little more difficult. But.
Oh, it's okay.
Yeah, right.
So easy.
Yeah, this is like.
Is this Bible words? This
is Bible words. This is the Bible words app. Yep. Okay. So luetai.
Present, middle passive. Indicative, third person singular.
My side, tie. Yep, third singular. Oh, see, it messed up the order again. See, it's tricking us. So, luetai, so look at what you see. Lu is your root, lambda, upsilon. Then you have a connector vowel, right, epsilon. And then just your middle passive endings, primary middle passive. So it's present, active, indicative, third person singular. Luetai. All right, does that make sense? Okay, how about luontai? Luontai.
Was that present, active, indicative, or present?
Middle passive.
Middle passive. Did I say active? It was middle passive.
All right, I just
wanted to make sure. Yeah. No, you're right. So, and again, how do we know that? Because the ending. Because the ending, the primary ending, so back to your master sheet, your primary endings is o, es, a, am, and ete, usi. But then your middle passive endings, primary middle passive, is the mai, sai, tai, mathos, that, untai.
And so how did we tell the difference between the middle and passive on that last one again? Was it the connector?
So no, because in the present, middle and passive is the same form.
Oh, so we can't tell the difference.
You can't tell a difference.
So you knew just because you knew.
He showed up just for that question.
That question.
Yeah, that's right. That was.
I've been on Greek for 3 years, so I can answer that one.
Yeah, right. His whole life has come to this moment. Yeah, that's right. Now you can just die happy. You know, like.
There was nothing in that told you that that's what it was. You know, because you've studied.
I just know that it's middle passive because of the ending. Yeah.
Yep. But in the present, so again, let's go back to our. Real quick,
we clarify
if it's middle or passive. Correct. So back to our just overall chart, just quick review. So the only forms that have three different forms is the future and the aorist. Notice the present tense is just going to have an active, and the middle passive is the same form. All right, so you only have two different forms there. Boxes. Mm-hmm. What's the word? Voices.
Repeat that again, Jeff. The only forms that have three or...
So notice here, the future is going to have a different form for the active, for the middle, and the passive. So you can distinguish between a middle and a passive voice in the future tense because it's actually a different form. And that's also true in the aorist. So the imperfect is like the present in the sense that you're just going to have an active... And then the middle passive is the same form. But aorist, you're going to have the three different voices. All three voices are different forms. Aorist active, aorist middle, aorist passive. You see that? Mm-hmm. So you're going to have three different voice forms in both the future and the aorist. And they're the only two that do that. Because, again, like when you go to perfect or pluperfect, notice they share the middle passive form is, again, the same form. In the perfect and pluperfect tense. So the only two that will have three, you know, the two tenses that will have three different forms in the voices, present, active, or I'm sorry, active, middle, or passive voice, will be aorist or future tense. Does that make sense? Otherwise, if it's present tense, perfect tense, pluperfect tense, the middle passive is the same form, and so it's entirely context that helps you determine which it is.
Would you say the default on middle passive is typically going to be passive?
So I was taught that, but what struck me is when I went through, and I have it in here somewhere, when I went through this guy, he actually argues, and I have it in here somewhere. I wrote it in here somewhere, is that he actually, it's almost 50-50, actually. There are a few more passives, but... Yeah, boy, I had it in here somewhere. Oh, right there. So active, this is right out of Wallace. He says, out of the three voices, active, there's going to be 20,697 verbs that are an active voice in the New Testament. Passive, 3,933, and middle is 3,500. So it's not that far off.
Wow.
And I was taught that if you see middle passive, assume passive. And that's still generically true because it's, you know, but it's just barely over. There's almost as many middles as passives, according to Wallace. So, but I don't, you know, that's a little subjective though. You know, like because you're still, you know, but that's, I'm just quoting Wallace there. But
well, and it could be skewed just by general count of middles and passives, whether that has to do with the, Aorist or the future, or all the others that have middle and passive separated. I wonder.
Yeah, I don't know. He doesn't say that in there. That's a good question. Okay. I'm not sure how he delineates that, but that was his count, and it surprised me.
Yeah, no, that's definitely higher than I would have expected.
Yeah, me too. Like quite a bit different. So I was like, huh, okay. But, okay, so did we do this one? I think we did this one. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So this is the third plural. What's this one? Luestha.
So it's the secondary, present.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right?
Yep, it is present. So it's a secondary ending.
Secondary ending.
So, yep, so it's going to be, I'm sorry, it's your primary ending, but it's your middle passive ending.
Middle passive. No, is it? Yeah.
And then it's second plural. Yeah, so it's that second plural ending. Este. So notice again, the component parts, you have the root, lu, you know, lu or lambda, upsilon. You have your connector vowel, epsilon. And then you have your primary middle passive ending, metha. Oh, I'm sorry, ste. So it's este, luestha, is second plural. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So just to clarify, if I missed this, how do you tell the difference between the primary middle passive ending and the secondary middle passive ending in the second person plural?
Oh yeah, it's the same.
Because that's what I was thinking it was. So mm-hmm. It's the primary? Yeah.
So the reason that we know it's primary is just because it's a present tense.
Okay.
Because remember, present tense is going to take primary endings because it's one of those primary tenses. So back to this chart here, right there. So your primary tenses are your present, future, and then your perfect middle passive. Mm-hmm. And then your secondary tenses.
If you have those, it would have a prefix on it. So that would clue you that it was
correct.
Not one of those.
Correct. Gotcha. Yep. Good catch. Excellent catch. Okay. So we got that one. Luamai. Mai sai tai mathasta untai. So what's the mai? So that's your first person singular.
Because that would be present.
Yep.
Right?
Yep. So, and because there's no augment on the front, there's no reduplication, there's no stem change, you know, where like a spelling change of the root or the stem and root are Depends on who you read. They're the same thing, but stem or root. So it's just, yeah, present, middle, passive, indicative, first, singular. All right. And then lue. Remember when we worked through that? This is the weird amalgamation thing, which normally happens in which form, you remember? Yeah, the second singular. Yep, the second singular is the weird form. Happens quite a bit because of the sigma, the psi or the saw in your secondary endings. But that sigma does a lot of, you know, if the sigma drops out and then your connector vowel will amalgamate with the I, the alpha and iota. And then you end up with lue, with an iota subscript. So it shows you there was an iota there, right? It retains it as a subscript, but so it's lue.
I used to be able to explain that, but I had a professor who just chalked it up to black magic.
Yeah. Yeah, what happened?
Black magic.
It's black magic. It's evil. We don't know why this happens. It's just it's just evil. That's what it is. Okay, here we go. This is our last form of the present middle passive. So present middle passive, amatha, which one's that? Do you remember? Look at your endings. So again, so it's the same form. Yep. Correct.
So it would be first person.
Yep, first person plural. Excellent. Present, middle, passive, first person, plural. Well done. Okay. So now let's see. Let's go just so we can put eyes on it. How are we doing on time? We got a little bit. Oh, wait. They do these two together. Nice. Oh, wait. That's just the middle. It says it was middle passive, but that's not... That's only the future middle. So, I'm really tempted. We've only got a few minutes left, so let's go to this parse. This is going to be a little harder, though. Okay? So this is just John. What's that?
Just John has to answer?
Yeah, just John. John only.
Throw me under the bus.
Good pick.
That's what you get from sitting in the front row.
That was good.
Yeah, that's my bad.
Okay, so
is this, you can kind of see that.
Okay,
you
so
turn up your resolution.
My resolution.
Yeah, it's on your display settings. You can just make the words all bigger.
Okay, whatever you say. How do you do that?
So go to your display, just like you would to connect to another screen.
Like this one.
Yeah.
Display settings.
At the bottom display settings.
Whoops. Display yeah. Settings.
And then. Right in there, it should say resolution or have different size letters.
Yeah, just to make your screen bigger. It had that.
Preset. Refresh rate. Maybe in under advanced.
No.
Show resolutions as list up at the top. Oh, well.
We tried. Okay, so so this one, I thought it was going to put this. Maybe not. Doesn't quite. So let's ignore the subjunctive and imperatives. Let's just do indicatives for now. So these top forms. All right, so it doesn't have it. I thought I was going to put it in a flashcard, but that's okay. So elegon. So look at that. What form is that? So what? Tell me what you see. It's elegon. And this is just from, well, I selected it, but you can see it at the top. What's the root? At the top of the screen, it's Lego. So these are all from Lego. In fact, indicative here. Oh, no, never mind. We'll do that. So... Yeah, so elegon is going to be, that's your, it's from Lego. So your root is leg, right? So that's the lambda, epsilon, gamma. So elegon, that first form on the top, is, what do you see? Is there a prefix? So if there's a prefix, it's going to be what? One of two forms, two possibilities. Aorist or?
Future.
Nope. Imperfect.
Imperfect.
Aorist or imperfect. So it's going to be aorist or imperfect, but if it's an aorist, what also will it have? There's another, there's a connector in the aorist that the imperfect doesn't have.
Sigma.
Good. Sigma alpha. Yep, it's going to have a sigma alpha. Which, do you see a sigma alpha in there?
No.
Nope. And then the only other thing is it might be aorist if there's a root change, a stem change. A spelling change, but there's not because it's from Lego. There's leg right there in the middle. So that would be an imperfect form. Imperfect, active, indicative. And then the on ending. Remember, this one's a little tricky because the on ending could be either a first singular or a third plural. It depends on the context. Do you remember that? Because it's actually the same form, first singular or third plural. All right, next one down. So does that one make sense? Does anyone see the imperfect, how you can figure that out? All right, second form down, elegete, elegete. Again, same root, lego. But then it's going to have, it has, does it have an augment on the front?
Yes.
Yes?
No sigma.
No sigma, no stem change. So it's aorist, or I'm sorry, it's imperfect, not an aorist. It's imperfect.
Imperfect.
And then is it active or middle passive, and how do you tell the difference?
It's active.
Good. And how do we know it's active rather than middle passive?
The active.
Yep, the ending. Exactly. So your active ending is the ete. Well done. Okay, do you see that? See how that works? Nailed it. Well done. Okay, well, what are we down? Third down. Notice. So the third one down is the same form as the first one on top. But, and this is just telling you here because it depends on where it appears in the context of John. So the first one, it's labeling as first person singular, elegon. But then notice the third word down is also elegon. But they're saying that's the third person plural. And that's just given the context. So if I click on that.
Okay. That was my question. They're saying that how?
Okay, so let's.
It's context.
It's context. So like this is coming out of John somewhere. So there we go. John, can you see that on the screen? John 4:33. I can't make that bigger.
No.
Wow, that's really
small.
Yeah,
well, I thought it was John 4:23.
Here we go. Yeah, I'm so sorry. I got to make this bigger. I got to make it way bigger. But anyways, so can you see my cursor? Kind of? You can see my cursor.
Okay.
There we go. Okay, so John 4:33 is elegon un oi mathetai. Mathetai. So how do we know if that's singular or plural? Just read the sentence. What's the subject of the sentence?
Mathetai.
Oi Mathetai, the
disciples.
Exactly. So the disciple, therefore, then the disciples said to one another. And so we see, oh, that's a plural subject, so it has to be the third person plural. Does that make sense? So that's where just context helps you determine which form it is. Is it, you know, first singular or third plural? But in that case, it's third plural. Okay, so let's go down to, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4. Let's go down to the next one. Legomen. Legomen. See, you can still see my cursor? There we go. Legomen. Boy, sorry, I can't make that bigger.
I took a picture of it.
Okay, there we go. So legomen, look at that. What is that one? Do you see an augment?
No.
No augment. So it's probably going to be either, so there's nothing happening on the front, so it's either going to be a present or a future, right? But then if you're looking at it, is there any What are the indicators of a future? It's going to have either the sigma for the active or middle, and in the passive form, it's going to be that theta eta sigma. So that's not, there's nothing like that in there. So it's just going to be your present tense. And then men is which ending?
First person plural.
Good. So it's your present active indicative first person plural. Legomen. All right. Next one. This is an easy one. Here we go. Lego. It's the lexical form. So it's just, can you recognize that? Lego is going to be your present active indicative first singular. Mm-hmm. It's just your lexical form. So if you look it up in a lexicon, that's what they list first is, you know, Lego. It's your present active indicative first singular. All right. And then legate. The one under Lego is legate. What's that one? Yep.
Second person.
Good. Second plural with the te ending. Then leges.
Present active indicative. Second singular.
Excellent. Second singular. Can you see that? Then legusin. That's your third plural form, but still we're all in the present active indicative. But let's look at that last one, because here's a change up. Legatai. So look at the, legati, look at the front, nothing happening on the front. So it's going to be present or future, but there's no sigma or theta eta sigma. So you're like, man, it's not a future, it's present. Exactly. Because it has the middle passive endings. Do you see that? My sai tai, mthas tha untai. So legati is going to be, and that's your third singular ending. But that's going to be a passive or middle passive. This just has labeled as passive. But all right, do you see how that works? Mm-hmm. Not too bad. Nice. You guys are rocking this. Well done. So, ooh, crino. This one's got 26 different forms. I like that. There we go. Okay. So this is helpful. So crino, have we memorized that one? Have you guys got crino down? Crino is I judge. Remember that? I judge. So the first one is ekrina. Ekrina. So this one's going to be a little tricky.
A little tricky?
Well, only because it, at first glance, it looks like an imperfect, mm-hmm. right? Because it has the augment, but no sigma. So it actually looks kind of like an imperfect active. But this is saying it's an aorist. And I think the reason that we know that, back to our chart, our master chart, is notice the alpha on the end. That's more of an aorist. That's like your aorist active indicative. So it's like it doesn't have the sigma on there, but it has the alpha on the end. Whereas in the imperfect active, it's the on ending, the Omicron new ending. So that one is a little bit tricky.
Yeah, I was going to say, because sigma alpha plus a prefix is zeros, right?
Mm-hmm. But there's no sigma in that form.
Yes.
Right. But it's there.
So that's the trickery.
Yeah.
So what would you call it? The black magic, John?
Yeah, that one's, it's black magic. Yes, that is interesting. But there's not like a, so I wonder, they're not necessarily classifying this as first or second aorist that I'm seeing, but because there's not even a obvious stem change either. So that's interesting. But it's the alpha ending instead of the on ending that is tipping you off that it's an aorist instead of a imperfect. The next one is going to do the same thing. Ekrinos, aorist active indicative, second singular. But again, it doesn't have the sigma as a connector in there, but it has the alpha sigma ending. So on your sheet, that would be, you know, that aorist active indicative form. But let's look at this. This one's got, we've just got a couple minutes left, but I want to show you a couple of these weird forms, or not weird, but ones you haven't seen yet. So this one down here, this fourth one down, ekrithason. Notice, what do you see? So it's from, so you have the, you know, the root, it's from crino. All these forms are from crino, but because you see the kappa, rho, iota, that's the root. There is a prefix, right? So it's going to be aorist or imperfect. Then you see a theta, eta. Good. So the theta is tipping you off. It's passive. But notice this is one of those weird forms that when you see a theta, eta, sigma, you think future passive, but it has an augment on the front. And futures don't have an augment on the front. So that theta, eta, so it's actually, it's an aorist. So you have the epsilon in the front, theta, eta as the connector, and then son is the ending. Does that make sense? So the theta, eta, sigma actually, you know, at first glance, it kind of looks like a future passive, but it's not. So let me show you what a future passive looks like. So down a few more forms. So just follow my cursor right here. See this one right here? So this one is krithasontai. That is a future passive. So your root is kri, right? You have the kappa, rho, iota. Then you have your theta, eta, sigma. That's your future passive indicator, the theta, eta, sigma, plus the omicron connector vowel and the untai ending. Do you see that? So those two forms, that's where the theta, eta, sigma sometimes throws people off. If it has no augment, no prefix, and it just has the theta, eta, sigma in there with a connecting vowel and an ending, you're like, oh, okay, that's a future passive. But up here, this one is an aorist passive. It still has that theta, eta, sigma, but the sigma is actually part of the ending. It's not part of the connecting, you know, the connector in the middle. And it has that augment on the front. So you can see that it's an aorist, not a future. Does that make sense? So those are ones that are easy to get mixed up sometimes. So we actually have several futures here. What, 4, 5, 6 different future forms here? This is kind of cool because it's will judge. I will judge. We will judge. All in the Gospel of John. But then come down to this form. Now we're running into an imperfect tense right down here. Is notice it has an augment, so it's going to be either aorist or imperfect. There's so your augment, then your root is the kappa, Rho, Iota, and Nu, actually. Crin. And then you have your connector vowel, ah, and then mitha ending. E, kri, na, mitha. So that's going to be an imperfect passive, right? And we know it's, well, in this context, yeah, we know it's passive because it's a middle passive ending, right? Correct. First person plural. Middle passive ending. All right. And then the last forms on the list are all present. Oh, look at there. There's a pluperfect. It doesn't happen very often, but there's your pluperfect form, which is interesting. So how do we know it's pluperfect if we were to study that intensively? It's from crino. So do you see the reduplication on the front? Mm-hmm. So it's ke crino or ke crin. Yeah, K. That's there exactly. We go.
That's a lot of K's.
Which is crazy because I'd have to look that up in lexicon. I'd look at that and I'd say perfect active because it has the kappa indicator in the connection before the ending. But they're saying it's pluperfect. So I'd have to look that up in the lexicon to see the difference between the perfect and pluperfect forms. Which is interesting. Yeah, that's an odd pluperfect form. But do you see how that reduplication in the front makes you start thinking, oh, perfect or pluperfect? Because it has that reduplication on the front. Most of the time, I mean, that looks more like a perfect to me. So I'd be like, huh. It is. Yep.
So it breaks that rule too?
Well, or I'm going to look this up and disagree with them. So, because this may not be a perfect system, you know.
Or a pluperfect.
Exactly. It's not a pluperfect system. Well said. Well said. I see what you did there. Well done. Well done. That's right. Oh, you're good. You're good. Okay. Okay, so look at this form, though. This one, that's your classic perfect form. All right, so it's from crino, but notice it's ke, kri, ka, te. So you have reduplication in the front, which means it's perfect or pluperfect, and then you have your kappa alpha, which means perfect active. Right, because that kappa alpha indicator, that's that connector right before your ending, your te ending, that would be perfect active. Is that making sense? Okay, but I got to check this one out on my own. Acts 20:16. I don't know where my logos went. It's over here somewhere. What is that? Acts 20:16. Okay, and then I'm out of time. But, because you guys are being so patient. Right there. Yeah, it's saying pluperfect here as well. So I'd have to look that up and why they're calling that, why they think that's pluperfect rather than perfect. But, so that's where you just whip out BDAG, and they're going to, you know, he's going to help you out. So right here, do you see, I can make this one bigger.
Okay, you see that?
There we go. Crino, over here. So future is crino, and we'll talk about that. Sometimes that happens where the sigma drops out, but then you have that little wave over the top. It's actually showing you that there was amalgamation taking place. Aorist is your ekrina, perfect kekrina, and then pluperfect, third singular, is kekrike. On the lack of the augment, it says read these people. In other words, it's recognizing it's lacking an augment. So that's it's a funky form. Because this is what it should look like right here. You see that? So it actually looks like a perfect. That's why it threw us off. Is it? And then it's telling us to go to these Greek grammars to and they will explain to us why in this particular instance the augment dropped off. So looking at that, you wouldn't actually know it was a pluperfect because it looks like a perfect, and they're admitting that. They're like, it looks like a perfect, but you got to go and, you know, consult the lexicons for some reason. Why? I don't know why. I'd have to read what those guys have to say. But in this particular instance, it dropped that extra augment, which is the indicator of the pluperfect instead of the perfect.
And the endings, though, still primary.
Yeah. Yeah, which, I'm trying to remember. Get rid of that. I've got windows up all over the place. So, right here. Yeah, so in the active, it does have primary active endings. It's only in the middle passive does it use secondary endings. So that is to be expected in the primary, in the pluperfect, it's going to use primary active, which is odd. But again, pluperfects are pretty rare. You're only going to find, 68 of those in the entire New Testament. And yeah, they're not very common, but which I thought was fun when we saw one. I was like, oh, hey, look. And then it just happened to be... Right. We found one, and then it was an exception to the rule. So like we found... Right. I'm like, what the world? We just won the lottery, folks. Right there. That was amazing. Okay. So thoughts, questions, comments. I'm out of time. We'll close in prayer here, but... Is it starting to make sense? It's a lot. It's a lot of information. But once you understand the building blocks, then it starts getting easier to recognize. There's two or three steps, right? You're trying to identify the root. Is there an augment? If there's not, you know, if there is, it's aorist or imperfect. If there's not, it's going to be present or future. If there's reduplication, it's perfect or pluperfect, right? You just kind of start going down your checklist and you start narrowing your options. And before long, it just reveals itself. It gives up and it confesses what it is. You just have to torture it long enough. And it will confess and tell you what it is, okay? Tell you everything about itself. But, all right. Well, should we pray quick? And then we'll be on our way. You guys have been so patient, so impressed. Well done. You're masters of the indicative verb chart, all right? So we'll come back and practice that a little bit more. But before I forget, no Greek next week. All right, so we got to take a week off because I'm going to be in Nephi. You're going to be in Nephi. We're all going to be in Nephi. All right, putting Daniel, installing him into...
So he was voted in.
He was. So I called my dad and, yep, he was voted in. And so it's official and the ceremony is next week, the installation ceremony. So we're going to do it.
The guy that's the current director of...
Utibica.
Yep,
Sam Miller. He's a good dude. You probably met him at the youth rally.
The youth rally, and they were at the winter.
I forgot about that.
So yeah, we got to know him.
That's right, because Joe got sick or something,
yes.
And Sam filled in for him.
Yes.
Yes. Yep. That's right. Yeah, they're good folks. They are great folks. So he's been wanting to come down here and present the camp for a while, and I've been wanting to have him, and this just worked out perfect. So. He'll be here next week. But all right. You want to close us in prayer, my friend?
Sure.
Okay, go ahead.
Heavenly Father, we are just grateful with the way that you have preserved your word for us today and have given us so many tools to make it accessible and something that we can get into and study. I just ask that as we all continue to dig deeper and continue to grow these skills, that you would give us patience for the effort. And that for each person here, they'd be able to see payoff for all our hard work. Father, we love you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.